Beau watched her walk down the wood planks in front of the saloons, her head bowed. A few men whistled and bent over in mock bows, but most stepped aside for her. He mounted his horse and followed her at some distance down streets and up avenues until she came to a church. She stood motionless in front of it, staring up at the steeple, as if getting her bearings and maybe gathering courage, although why anyone would need courage to enter a church, he could not begin to imagine. He tied up the horse and mule and leaned against the post, wondering why he cared. Why was he still even standing there? He'd rescued her, kept her warm and safe until she healed, and now delivered her to people who would be familiar to her. Church people like her parents and the others on their wagon train. Even as he wondered why he was still there, his feet took him on a well-worn rock path along the side of the building. He stopped when he heard voices, but glanced around the corner to see a grassy area with the last of the fall trees in a blaze of color, around benches and wooden chairs. She was seated on one of the benches, speaking to an older gray-haired man wearing a collar of the church. There was a younger man standing, tapping his foot, holding his hat behind his back, and staring at Miss McManus as she spoke with the older man.
"I have one elderly aunt in Philadelphia, my father's sister, who was quite ill when we left. She may have already passed on to her reward by now."
"There won't be anyone from our flock traveling to Charleston until spring at the earliest. Do you have aunts or uncles or other family already there?" the minister asked.
"No, but there are neighbors who I could stay with until the new pastor is voted on and installed."
She glanced up at the young man.
"Perhaps my circumstances will be different in the spring."
"I have never found it wise to place too much hope on an outcome that is not guaranteed," the young man said.
She held herself with dignity as she stood, although Beau could see her lip trembling. She thanked the pastor, and he clutched her hands. They prayed for some moments, and then he made a bow and walked into the back of the church. Miss McManus looked up at the young man.
"Is there no hope for us then, William?" she asked.
He tilted his head.
"Surely you understand, Miss McManus. A minister must be upright in all his dealings, especially in his choice of a wife." "Nothing happened, William. There's no scandal for you to concern yourself with. I was kidnapped by a man who found me at my family's wagon," she said, and swallowed. "I was rescued by a person on his way to claim some property. He found me in the woods when I escaped and brought me back to Winchester."
"You wandered through the woods alone on that day, the day of your parents' death, until you made your way back here. Your nightdress was torn and you were hysterical. What do you think people thought of your appearance?"
Beau stared at the young man, most likely close to his age, in his black suit, all wrapped up in his own self-worth. The woman had been savagely treated, and this man's concern was his own reputation. He'd best leave before he told the jackanapes what he thought of him. And then she began to cry.
"But William, don't you see? I have no one," she said, as tears rolled down her face. "I have nowhere to go. We've corresponded for 2 years. We were to be married."
"None of this would have happened if you had obeyed me. I told you not to go back to your wagon. I told you, but you insisted. And what did it get you?"
"I had to go back. My parents were not buried. There were no words said over their graves. I begged you to go with me, but you wouldn't. Why, William? Why wouldn't you accompany me? You are right. None of this horribleness of the last 6 days would have happened if you would have gone with me. We are not married. I could not ride out alone with you. Young women should not be traipsing around the countryside with unmarried men, even if they are affianced. If you were not ruined on the day of your parents' death, your good reputation is gone now." "William," she whispered, and brought her hand to her lips, her eyes wide.
Beau had heard enough.